Welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. Now, I'm sorry it's been a couple of weeks, but if you're not aware, if you're only a listener to the podcast and you don't follow me on social media or anything like that, or you don't know me personally, then you will not be aware that I have moved to the other side of the world. I was fortunate enough to get my visa to come to Australia back in November, and I flew out on December 28th. So I've been in lockdown for most of last year, and then I had to go into a two-week hotel quarantine once I arrived to Australia. And then once I got out of all of that, I basically have spent 2 weeks enjoying life with my fiance, who I hadn't seen for 7 months. So please do allow me this. I did get an episode out to you during my quarantine period. It was brilliant episode with Brooke Madigan. But I also took that time, those 2 weeks I had, to record lots of episodes. So I have plenty of episodes to go. I've just got to sit down and actually produce them and put them all together for you to enjoy. So that's basically what's been going on in my life. And you'll hear me reference what's going on sitting in a hotel room quite a lot in the upcoming episode and other upcoming episodes to then. Today on The Fitness Solution, I've got a member of the Fitness Collective. She joined on New Year's Day, which was wonderful. And her name's Helen. And we go into it all basically on the podcast. She is a wonderful person. She's survived some incredible health issues, and she's now wanting to take charge of her fitness. She's got a wonderful history with diet clubs like Slimming World and things like that. And in this episode, we really discuss how they may have affected her and how we need to try and get her mind moving away from that and into something much more sustainable for her longer term future. And she talks about knowing that it's going to take a long time and wanting to move forward and things like that. And it really is, it's a really exciting, really encouraging episode. And I'd like to give you a quick update on what Helen's been up to. And, you know, this might sound small potato fries to you, but to me and her, it's huge. And for the last week, she has absolutely nailed her step counts for the last couple of weeks. And that's incredibly huge, especially because she's in the UK and it's freezing cold there. And I really hope she just carries on this path of building really slowly to get into it, because if she tries to do too much too soon, it might be too overwhelming for her. So she's doing really well. She's ticking along beautifully. She sends me lots of updates, which is always fun. And I really hope you're going to get a lot out of this episode, where we talk about just setting her up with fitness, moving away from something tough into something much more sustainable for her, and everything that is involved. That's it from me. I hope you're all very well. I hope you're having a marvelous week, and I can't wait to share this episode with you. So let's hand over to myself and Helen.
I didn't even notice, actually. I saw you drink something, but I didn't notice what it was. So if you hadn't said that, I wouldn't, you know.
No worries. Welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. And this is a very special episode today. I know I say that every week. I know you're going to stop believing me at some point, but this really is a very special episode, because on the other end of the line, I have someone very significant, and she is significant for many reasons. But the biggest reason to me she is significant for is she is the very first person to have signed up for the Fitness Collective in 2021. She grabbed the bull by the horns, New Year's Day, bang, the payment came in, and she joined. And we're going to find out as to why. We're going to find out all the reasons that she's joined and what she wants to achieve and stuff. And I couldn't be more grateful for that little present on New Year's Day, having spent New Year's Eve on my own staring at a sky with no fresh air in a hotel room. So that's enough from me. I'm, of course, talking about Helen, who is a wonderful human, and we're going to have a good chat. So how are you, Helen?
Good, thank you. Very well, yeah.
How's the UK today?
Very grey.
Is it?
I don't have snow though. Quite a few people have snow apparently, but I don't. So.
Okay, and whereabouts in the UK are you?
Sleaford in Lincolnshire.
Sleaford?
Sleaford.
Sleaford, I've never heard of Sleaford.
Sounds in like Lincolnshire, a very, it's about like a 20 minutes place. From Lincoln.
Okay, cool.
So, Yeah.
You like it there?
Sorry?
You like it there?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a very small town. And it's very Lincolnshire, very country. Yeah. Yeah. There's not a lot going on around here. So, but that's cool. It works for me.
But yeah, that's never a bad thing, is it? Awesome. So, as you know, as you said, like, whenever someone new joins the Fitness Collective, I always give them this opportunity to just jump on the phone, have a chat, like, you know, have a proper good old chin wag with their coach about whatever it is they have issues with or need help with or want to talk through, anything like that at all. And in fact, one of the episodes I did with someone who joined the Fitness Collective is like the second most popular podcast I've ever done. So, you know, people like these stories and they like these conversations, and I think people find them really helpful. So I just really want to get to know you, have a chat with you. That's literally it. We can be here for as long as we need to be. So don't worry. Don't feel like there's any pressure. It's just a chat with your personal trainer. All right. So let's start at the top. Like, tell us how you ended up in Lincolnshire. Who are you?
That's a good question. How did I end up in Lincolnshire? So I'm a military kid. So both my parents were in the military. So I was born right at the bottom of the country, actually, and then spent childhood kind of musing about. And then we ended up in Lincolnshire. And my parents then went their separate ways. And my father actually ended up in Australia with the military. Wow. And then decided when they recalled him back to the UK that he didn't want to come.
I'm not surprised.
So he retired and has actually become an Australian citizen now. So he is out in Australia. And my mum stayed in Lincolnshire, settled here. So that's kind of how I ended up in Lincolnshire. And then I, as an adult, moved about a bit. So I lived in London for quite a few years and then came back to Lincolnshire. And yeah, kind of Lincolnshire seems to be my home. However, I'm not a true yellow belly because I wasn't born here, and they're quite what's the word?
Incestuous.
You know. Well, you know, no. If you weren't born here, you can't call yourself a yellow belly, even if you've been here like.
I've never heard the term yellow belly. What the hell is that?
It's a Lincolnshire person. If you were born and bred Lincolnshire, right. Yeah.
I suppose it's a better stigma to have a yellow belly than to be where I'm from, which is Essex. So we'll let that one slip past.
Yeah, let's do that.
let's judge the Essex people. I can. I'm from there. And I escaped, luckily. Super. So tell me, what made you sign up to TFC, to the Fitness Collective?
To be totally honest, my friend.
I'd expect nothing less than honesty.
My friend, who is part of the Fitness Collective, told me about it, and she told me about you. So
that must have been a very painful conversation. I'm sorry about that.
No, it wasn't actually as painful as you might think. I guess I connected with you on Instagram first. So that was kind of. So I just looked into it and decided because I had been considering rejoining the what should we call it? Slimming World. I'm a slave to Slimming World. So I had been kind of half-heartedly thinking about Slimming World again, and then this kind of cropped up and I thought, do you know what, let's try something a bit different. And, you know, I'm acutely aware that, so things like my activity level is shockingly poor. And actually, you know, I don't know why I have a bit of a stuck trap with Slimming World. So I join it, it goes wrong, I stop, and then kind of 6 months later I'm like, oh, do you know, I'm just gonna try Slimming World again, you know. And I don't know why, because it never works. And the last time I joined Slimming World, I actually gained weight. Like, literally, they were like, you can't be doing this properly. And I'm like, no, honestly, here's my food diary. Like, literally, I was putting weight on. So I just felt like actually the Fitness Collective was something that fed into kind of my want to just try and do something a bit more active as well, because I don't work at the moment. I'm really acutely aware that, you know, although I never used to be particularly physically active, I used to be on my feet all day. So I used to like walk 3 or 4 miles throughout the course of a day just because of my job. Whereas, you know, the other day I did a step count on my phone for the day and I was really shocked at how poor it was.
Well, what was it?
Oh, I don't know, something like about 90. Right. I mean, I hadn't done anything. Like, I literally had spent the day kind of in the lounge, like, just, so it literally was just going from room to room during the day. But I was just like, that's really bad. Like, I could have at least walked to the end of the road or something, or gone.
Yeah, I think, but I think with all things like that, like, bad's a relative concept. So, you know, you're looking at it and you're thinking it's bad, and it's bad in terms of what I suppose society feeds us, in the sense that, you know, we're told to walk 10,000 steps a day, and I'm guilty for putting that out there as much as anyone else is, right? Like, I, just because it's a concept that's easy for most people to get their head around, and it's a concept that is relatively easy to achieve for the relative parts, for relative parts of society. But what it fails to take into account is, and really it's great failing, which is something I'm becoming more and more aware of, like I'm going to be very open and honest with you here, Helen, like, I get shit wrong sometimes. And peddling like the 10,000 steps a day thing is something that I've come to realize is it's not as useful as it is just standing there saying it to people sometimes. Like, if you're a truck driver, if you're an office worker of sorts, like, depending on what kind of office you work in, I'd say, because I think a lot of office workers hide behind that as a reason to not, when really they could. So I don't know, say you're a train driver, or something like that, or say you're locked in a hotel room for 2 weeks, although you could argue I am being lazy, and I am to an extent, because my fiance is 10,000 steps in a day, but it's,
oh, really?
yeah but it's a relative concept. So although we say 10,000 steps a day, in truth what we mean is we'd like you to become more aware of the importance of something as simple as moving in the form of walking. Like, walking is one of the most, but obviously that's a much harder sell. If I was to sell that in my 5 awesome rules for fat loss life, like, people would be like, what the fuck does that mean? That doesn't make sense. You know, like, you have to package it up in a way that people can comprehend it. But if I was to say to you, you have to go and get 10,000 steps a day done, you do that day one. You might be able to do it day one, but you could be knackered after that. You might be able to do it day two, and then you just be like, my God, this is killing me. I can't keep this up. And then suddenly, before you know it, you're demotivated, you're out of puff, and it's not been a helpful exercise for you. So really, in truth, what we say, what we mean by 10,000 steps a day is, I'd like you to, in a sustainable and succinct way, push yourself to a degree to get more movement into your day through the form of walking, because it's the most accessible form of exercise for everybody there is. But if you start at 90 and you get to 500, that is an astounding achievement relative to where you started. And then you do 500 for 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, maybe a week, then be like, okay, I'm going to double it again. Let's get to 1,000. Let's go for this. Let's go for that. Chances are you'll be able to do a lot more than that. I have no doubt. But it's a relative concept that you must always view in the context of really who you are and what you think you can comfortably achieve. Because in the same way Slimming World, you kind of went all or nothing with Slimming World from time to time, and it was like, oh, you know, I'm doing it. And then, oh, I can't anymore, I'm going to give up. The same thing happens with movement. And the two lie in bed together very closely. You know, like, in diet, it's like, we're going to do it all. I'm going to clean eat. I'm going to give up sugar. I'm going to never drink alcohol again. You go all in for like 7 days, and then you're like, ah, and you have a beer, or you have a cocktail, or you have an espresso martini, or you eat a pizza, you order Domino's because you've had a stressful day and you feel like crap and everything else. And suddenly you feel like a failure again, because you think, my God, I've not been able to do it. What's the point in even trying? I can't get through 7 days. The truth is you set yourself up to fail because you started doing too much too soon. And that's the real issue with going 10,000 steps a day, and definitely not 10 kilometers a day.
Oh my my God, I was so embarrassed by that.
Let me give some context to our listener. So Helen has gone all in. She's doing very well. She's posting in the Fitness Collective Facebook group. And one of the other members, Lorraine, who's just absolutely awesome. She's such a lovely person, Lorraine. She saw in one of your posts, didn't she, that you said 10K a day. And
you posted 10K.
10K, yeah.
Like the challenge thing, weren't you? And I was like, what? 10K, lol. Because I was like, that's not happening.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect anyway. I wouldn't do a 10K run or walk a day. So K means like number of steps. KM would mean kilometers. But hey, it's fun. It's funny. It's lovely. It's a great anecdote.
It was so funny because she was just like,
I'm so glad she caught it though.
Sorry.
I'm so glad she caught it. I'm so glad that she saw it because I didn't think of it. And that's a wonderful learning tool for me. I will now make sure I always write 10K steps as opposed to just 10K because I can't risk.
Can you imagine? I'm so used to hearing 10 kilometers. Sorry.
Could you imagine if you went out and did 10 kilometers? Like, I mean, that would have been a massive failing on me. A massive failing on me.
I guess, well, that's why I was like 10K lol. Yeah. And I was just like, because I think in my head, I'm so used to, well, not so used to it because I haven't done it myself, but a lot of friends couch do this to couch to 5K thing.
Yeah.
So 5K in my head was, so when I saw 10K, I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, I'm not so, I would have been as well.
Oh, yeah, I was a bit embarrassed about that, but hey,
no, but there's, and that's another point. Like, there's just nothing to be embarrassed about ever. Like, fitness, fat loss, weight loss, everything, the whole gamut of taking charge of your health is about one thing and one thing only. And well, all right, two things. Let me say two things and two things only. One, it's about enjoyment, it's about having fun. And if you feel like you're in an environment where you're being judged for real, honest, genuine, like just investigating, learning, understanding, asking questions, if you feel like you're in an environment that's full of judgment in that sense, then you are not going to enjoy it at all. Whereas the truth is we all make mistakes. We all say things that sound daft and dumb and stupid. And there is nothing wrong with that. That is part of what makes us wonderful as human beings. And there is nothing to ever feel embarrassed about ever. I mean, if a human being in the Fitness Collective ever came to me and said, I felt really embarrassed about that, I'd be mortified, absolutely mortified, because it's counterintuitive to what my personal moral belief of what fitness should be for everyone. And that is an accessible space. And we find, you know, gyms are triggering enough out there for many people in this world. They're a tough place to be in for so many people. They're full of mirrors, which people find very arresting. They're full of saying, oh, you need to come to the gym for your mental health. And then you walk in and all you see is ripped to crap, shredded people on the walls and people saying, achieve this in 6 weeks. And it's just not possible. And they're a dichotomy and they're a place of utter hypocrisy at times. And they're a very triggering place for so many people and a very difficult place to get your head around. Like, And that can make you feel embarrassed. That can make you feel uncomfortable. That can make you feel like you don't belong. And that's not good enough for an institution like a gym. And unfortunately, I can't do anything about that. I don't own one. And even if I did, it'd be in Australia now, so you wouldn't be able to come to it anyway. So if someone got that vibe online from a space I'm trying to curate and create, it would really affect me massively. So please, if you ever do feel embarrassed about something, please make sure you can come and talk to me about it. And please do and be honest and open about it. And you'll have nothing but my utter apology. And I'll deal with it in whatever way I need to in that sense. But I know full well the only people who are in that collective are people who have this, who share the same moral belief that I do. And the other thing, number two.
It was kind of funny embarrassed. It wasn't it?
Yeah. And number two was... well, it's enjoyment, and two is exploration. And all it is about exploration. There is no right or wrong, just exploration. And that's all you're doing. You're just figuring it out. You're finding what will work, what won't work. You're finding what you enjoy, what you might not enjoy. And it's only through keeping exploration at the heart of it. And really, exploration is a wonderful word for it, because exploration is what has driven humanity forward for years and years, whether it be James Cook finding the shores of Australia, whether it be Columbus finding the West Indies in America, whether it be Neil Armstrong getting onto the moon. Exploration is something that has one, united humanity throughout history, and two, has driven humanity forward throughout centuries. And so really that is, everyone should put exploration at the heart of everything they want to achieve when it comes to working on their health and fitness, because it's a concept that if you can really tap into well, it will sustain you for a very long period of time. So yeah, so that's really what you need to put front and center. So that being said, what is it you want to explore? What are your hopes and dreams? Why me? Why us? Why are you here now?
good questions. Why you? Because somebody recommended you.
Okay, great.
So, and I guess I kind of sussed you out on social media a bit, and I wouldn't say I'm a half glass, half empty glass all the time, but I can wane pretty quickly. I joke about you being really enthusiastic and, but it's great because actually that's what I need. I need people who could actually in a month's time still have the same energy as they have today, because I probably won't have.
To that point, in terms of you're quite active in the church, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't mind talking about that?
Nope, not at all. Nope.
Cool. How long have you been active in the church?
This time around.
you're destroying my point here. Don't say that.
about 8 or 9 years. I've been in and around churches since I was a teenager. I kind of had a few years when I drifted.
Years is more than I was expecting you to say, so that's phenomenal.
Oh, okay, right. So,
So and what is it that's kept you engaged in the church?
My faith, I guess, and community. Community is the, in terms of actual church and being actively involved with what's going on there, I would say is the community and the people
kind of keep it going, really. And how do you define faith?
How do I define faith?
Yeah, personally. Obviously it's a personal concept, right? So subjectively, how do you define your faith?
How do I define it? Oh, that's a good question. At 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it's not for me, so that's probably why it's a great question, because I'm revved up and I've been doing it all day.
You should have warned me. Define my faith. How do I define my faith? What I believe, or
not like the logistics of it, like obviously you wouldn't say you have faith if you didn't believe in God, do you know what I mean? What I mean is how do you what are the things that keep you connected to God? And what are the things that keep you connected to the concept of your faith? And what is it that's given you longevity? What I'm trying to get to is, what is the thing that has made you constantly stay involved in the church with your faith? What's the thing that's connected you to it and made you sustain it for such a long period of time?
I feel like this is going to sound really cheesy.
I'm sure it will, but I'm sure that's wonderful. If it didn't, is it even worth answering? Cheese is welcome on the Fitness
Christian
Solution.
If it's not cheesy. I guess central to my faith and to what I believe about God and who God is love. And then central to my church and how my church act out our faith in God is all centered around love. And that is, loving God, but loving one another and our church community, but also our wider community. So our town. So we're really active in from things like Meals for Vulnerable People, we've ramped over Christmas, done a huge campaign of kind of hampers for people who are needing them. And just, there's 50 different projects that my church, there's just tons of stuff that my church is involved in in the community that's about love, and loving our community and where we live, and that's what is core, I think, to me and who I am as a person. And you know, that's so loving God, loving my faith, and then loving other people. And that's what, I guess that's what keeps me going. So that's really cheesy, but
no, that's not cheesy at all. That's not
kind of how it is.
and I mean, the whole time you're saying that, I was just grinning like a little schoolboy, because I think it's one of the most incredible words, love. It's so integral to who we are as human beings. Now, what I would say to you in that sense is if you know that's what gives you longevity in terms of the church, in terms of your faith, in terms of your humanity and the core belief of who you are as Helen, then I think it's very important you adopt that same word and you adopt that same principle, that same philosophy in your fitness journey. Like you can take that concept. If that's what makes Helen tick, then let's take love. And like recently, like, you know, like I put a post in there about Guiding Light, and it was on Instagram as well for those listening who aren't in the fitness collective, about, you know, pick your word for your fitness, like forget your New Year's resolutions and stuff. Let's have a guiding light. Let's have a word that's going to beam us forward. And mine is liberty. I feel like this is the year of liberty for me. I'm going to experience freedom like I've never had before in a very different space, in a very different place, liberty away from my institutions that I'm accustomed to and used to, which is going to provide a challenge for me. I have a song that's going to drive me forward and remind me of when I felt most libertarian in my life, and will connect me back to that time as well. And for you, I think we should put love at the heart and center. So when you're deciding, what are you doing in terms of your fitness? Like, almost ask yourself, what am I doing in terms of my love, both for myself and for my body, and for my, you rolled your eyes.
Did I?
Yeah. When I said love for myself, you just rolled your eyes like the rolling eye emoticon. It was huge and obvious.
I need to get better at, what's the word? Somebody said to me the other day,
self-empathy.
And I did something, and they were just like, I can tell what you're thinking, because I have a very transparent face.
Perfect.
And I can't, well, it's not, because it means that you can't get away with, like, you know, rolling your eyes without somebody noticing, or it wasn't meant to be an eye roll as such, but I think one of the things that I have been on a journey of over the last couple of years particularly, and you know, still am, is that concept of, you know, I'm very pro-loving other people, and you know, but probably my ability for various reasons to love myself is difficult. And I think that ties in with the whole fitness thing, the whole eating thing, the whole, you know, how I view my body thing, the whole just, you know, I've spent a lot of years in my professional career, and even sort of, you know, volunteer work, sort of focusing on other people, because it's easier to do that than actually focus on myself. And, you know, actually I'm at a point now where, you know, I probably need to start focusing on myself and learning how to love myself, and, you know, let that impact, you know, how I eat, how I fitness, how I, everything really.
I think altruism is a phenomenal thing in this world. And I think people who are altruistic are always told, oh, but you need to look after yourself, and you need to put yourself number one and stuff like that. And then those who put themselves number one are always told, you need to be more altruistic, you need to look out for others and everything else. And it's like, we can never win between the concept of altruism and self-love. Like, it's like, it doesn't matter where you sit, you're between a rock and a hard place, right? And that's a great shame. But I think the reason, I think it works, obviously it works both ways. I think selfishness, like looking after yourself selfishly, is a lot easier to call out, because there's definitely two ways in which selfishness works. There's just being a selfish asshole, which happens all the time, and we see it all the time, and that's very easy to call out, and that's very straightforward, and And I think in this conversation, that's not what we refer to when we talk about selfishness. I think what we refer to is when I was on stage, when I went to drama school, we were always taught this concept of being selfish in order to be generous. And we were always taught this concept about how you have to look after your own performance. You have to look after number one. You have to put your preparation first. You have to make sure that you're comfortable in doing what you're doing all of the way, because if you're not, you can't then give yourself over to the concept of others. You can't give yourself over to the concept of the play. You can't give yourself over to the concept of the scene. You can't give yourself over to the concept of your ensemble, of your director, of your character. You can't be available. And you have to be selfish in order to be generous, because at the heart of you looking after yourself, the goal, the end product of that is generosity to everyone else around you, and almost being a a disciple of the bigger concept at play, giving yourself up to a higher purpose is what I'm trying to say. And I think some people drive towards altruism to completely escape who they are as people. And it's a great escapism for them. But that one day that will dry up on them. And one day they're just putting away a problem that will come home to roost at some point in their lives. And so I think in the context of this conversation, we very much have to say, no, we're going to be selfish in order to be generous. And if you just say, I'm going to be selfish, it's not good enough. It has to be in order to be generous, because that is what connects you with who you believe Helen is. Does that all make sense?
It does. Yes. I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah, it's hard to get around, right? What was you thinking? Tell me.
No, nothing major. Just, I agree with all of that. And, I need to kind of,
need to look at it.
Try and roll with it a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, it's never a straight line. It's going to go up, it's going to go down, it's going to be full of self-empathy and self-love at times, and it's not, and it's going to be full of just not today, can't do it. And there's going to be the whole gamut of human emotion will govern you, and you will fall foul to it. However, what also will happen is slowly but surely the days upon which you fall foul to the negative feelings or the can't do it feelings, they will slowly diminish, and it will take a long time, but they'll slowly diminish, and they'll be replaced with the days where you can, and the days of positivity, and the days of understanding this new frame, this new way of looking through the looking glass, almost like at yourself, and how you can then put yourself into a better place in this world. And what will happen, what will reinforce that, is the energy you get back from others. Once you flip your perspective, the energy you get back from others gets flipped, and it becomes much more energizing. Like you were saying, how you always wanted someone with lots of energy to keep you going in a month's time and stuff like that. The only reason I have this energy, this ball of energy that I have that seems to drive me each day, is because of people like you. It's because you show faith in me. It's because my selfishness of looking after myself, of making sure that I'm always in a position to be ready to be able to help people, and I make sure that I do things in my life that allows me to always be that person, then allows me to throw that back out there. You take it and you throw it back at me, and it almost recharges my batteries. That's when it works. And once you can get to that point, and it's taken me years to get to this point, absolutely a really long time. Mm-hmm. And there's been times when I've just felt like people take and swipe and grab and take the Mickey, and it, that drains you. But at the heart of it is always my altruism. But it drains me. Whereas this way, the more you work on it this way, the less draining it is, and the more you can keep going out to help people, including yourself. Mm. And you have to put yourself first in that sense. Mm. So that's all the why. Mm. That's the why we're doing it. Why does Helen want to do this? Why is she going to put this best foot forward and everything else? So now what we need to tackle is the what and the how. So what's your plan?
Yes. What is my plan? That's a good question. That is a good question. I guess my original New Year plan was to try and walk more.
That's a great plan. That's a
phenomenal
plan.
The challenge that I face is, the challenge that I face is health. And so my health has been a challenge, is probably the best way to describe it, for the last 5 or 6 years, and then particularly the last 12 months. So this time last year was very poorly, with what we then discovered was cancer. And so I'm kind of on the recovery journey from that.
Which I have, bloody amazing. Like you've recovered from cancer. That's huge. Yeah.
I lost you just for a sec.
No worries. I just said, can I just interject and just say, like, you've recovered from cancer. That's huge. That's one of the biggest achievements. I think that's one of the biggest achievements I think a human could probably ever achieve in their lives, and is a challenge that, honestly, I have no idea how I'd react in that situation. And I have no idea if I'd get through it. I think lots of people listening to this probably think the same. Like, it's the one thing you kind of hope you never have to face, because you've got no idea how you're going to deal with it. There's lots of stuff in place for certain health conditions and stuff. You're like, oh, I get this, I do that, you know? But that's huge and incredible. And so, I mean, the fact you've managed to do that alone tells me everything I need to know about the power you have within you when you need it the most.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty tricky. I
can believe it.
I would say pretty tricky. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty traumatic, I guess, is one way of putting it. And then, you know, kind of having to deal with consequences of that as well. You know, I'm sort of early 30s, and, you know, kind of the surgery that I had has kind of changed, you know, the future. And also I think I mentioned this last night, so, you know, I'm having to deal with hormonal changes that, you know, you expect when you're 50 and, you know, not when you're 30. And just that whole, you know, the whole process has been quite a big kind of head change kind of thing, really. But, you know, at the same time, I'm still here. And, you know, this time last year I spent Christmas Day in hospital last year needing blood transfusions because I was so ill. And, you know, actually compared to that, I'm kind of doing okay.
Yeah.
However, you know, I do have health issues, so alongside the cancer, you know, some other things going on. So I have days where, you know, I literally, you know, just getting up and being upright and, you know, feeding myself and just functioning as a human is pretty difficult. And so those are complete write-off days. So what I guess my goal going into this year was to try and focus on maximizing what I can do on the days that I can do it, because I'm really good at making excuses. So the other day when my step count that I mentioned earlier was shockingly low, and I was really shocked by how low it was, there was no reason that day why I couldn't have gone out for a little walk, but I just didn't. So what I'd like to try and do is kind of work on doing stuff when I can do it, so that on the days when I literally can't, actually it's kind of okay. Because trying to say to myself I'm going to go and have a walk every day is not going to happen. You know, and so there's no point in even starting with that. But maybe saying if I can go for a walk 3 or 4 times a week, or maybe even 3 to begin with, I don't know. And so that's kind of one of my things. And then I guess the other is just around food and working out how to make a sustainable plan around eating and just, you know, I weighed just out of interest the other day, porridge in the morning, to see what 35 grams, because I read, I don't know, was it in your, was it in something I read on yours, or I don't know, I read somewhere the other day that a portion of porridge in the morning should be 35 grams.
Right, okay, I don't think I'd have ever put that out there, but yeah, okay.
Is 35 grams good or
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many grams of porridge you eat or do not eat. It comes down to how sustainably you can fit that into your calories that you should be eating each and every day.
So okay.
35 grams might be enough for you. It might not be enough for you. 35 grams might be too much for you. It might not be too much for you. There is no right or wrong. Remember what I said earlier? There's one word we put at the heart of fitness, and that is exploration. So one day you might have 35 grams of oats and you'll run out of calories really quickly. Therefore, 35 grams of oats is too much for you. Or you could have 35 grams of oats, and in the context of what else you ate that day, it was perfect for you. So there is no right or wrong. This is why getting educated on calories, which is why weighing your food and weighing out 35 grams of it, is a very useful exercise and very well done for doing that, because you now know how many calories are in it, shocking though it is, and you can then go forward and be like, okay, so if I have to have that breakfast, that's fine. How do I manage the rest of my diet for the rest of the day?
Yeah, you see, I've never been into the calorie counting thing before.
Because you went to Slimming World.
Yeah. So, but I was shocked, you know, just going with the 35 gram thing, because normally I kind of wake up in the morning and I just open my porridge thinking that it's in, and I just pour, and then I stick some milk on, and then I shove it in, and then I kind of looks around the right amount-ish, and then I eat it. And then I was looking at this like 35 gram portion of porridge, and I was just like, oh, what's the point of even making that? Like, you know what I mean?
How many calories was it?
I didn't even work it out, because I wasn't really thinking about the calories. I was just kind of wanting to see what 35, because I'd read 35 grams was the average. It obviously wasn't
that you had written, and did it seem like, excuse me, did it seem like a lot to you or not a lot to you?
Not a lot. So okay. I just poured some wine.
Fair enough. Like, you know, but then you can do things like with the 35 grams of calories of oats. That's great, but then just put blueberries in there or put some fruit in there, and then you're going to save up on calories a little more, and you might be on that portion. The answer is until you know your numbers, there's no concept of whether it's good or bad. Until you know, or there's no concept of good or bad anyway, but there's no concept of whether it fits into your calories for the day, whether it's nutritious enough for you. And that's a whole other argument about whether 35 grams of oats is nutritious enough for you. Oats are a very good thing to eat. There's no bad thing about oats. It's a very good thing to eat, but there's always a balance of eating. You can still eat too much of a good thing, because you can end up going over your calories, and depending on your goals and things like that, which, you know, from what I know of you, is to lose some weight and to get moving and to feel healthier in that sense. Then you need to find out what the calories were, and you need to find out how that fits into the rest of your day, both in terms of the movement you can create each day and in terms of your intake each day.
How do people, I listened to of a woman that you were chatting to. I can't even remember her name, which is really bad, but I think she was talking about Slim World as well, maybe.
Is it Deborah?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the person I referenced at the start. She was in the Fitness Collective, and she... She's got the second most popular podcast I've ever done is Deborah's. Right. Yeah, she's great.
How do people transition from, you know, in terms of mind kind of, so over the last 10 years, I have probably rejoined Slimming World about 12 times. I've never tried anything else. I've never gone to Weight Watchers. I've never, you know, it's just Slimming World. And I guess part of the attraction is because I recognize I need to change my headspace in this, because for me at the time, you know, when I was working, I was very busy. So, you know, I often would be out of the house for 12 hours a day. And so doing something where you didn't have to particularly weigh your food, and the concept of free food where you can just, you know, it doesn't matter how many, you know, Müller Light yogurts you eat a day because they're free. You know, you can eat as many of them as you want because they're free, or you can drink as many cans of Diet Coke. I'm a bit of a Diet Coke addict. So, you know, swimming world kind of fit really nicely into actually my kind of life, because I didn't have to weigh food. I didn't have to go hungry. I could eat what I want. I could drink Diet Coke until the cows came home. I occasionally lost weight, but mostly that was probably because I didn't really eat properly, because I'd be working and then I'd just eat something in the evening. And, you know, I used to smoke quite a lot as well, so I'd often smoke instead of eat, which I don't smoke anymore. But I'd often, you know, instead of having a lunch break, I'd go and have three fags. Like, instead of eating. But Slimming World kind of promotes that kind of eat as much as you want kind of the right things, which I am gradually getting my head around not being a particularly helpful way. Partly what has shocked me the most is the portion thing. So I went and, as part of my recovery, from my surgery. So I was in hospital for about 7 days, and then I went and stayed with friends for 7 days. And I was just like shocked at their portion control, because I'm just like, I have no concept of what is a help, you know, because Slimming World just promote you eat as much as you want until you're full, as opposed to maybe having a sensible size plate of food. And then, you know, I feel like I've lost all concept with that. And what I need to try and do is work, kind of reshift my brain into the Slimming World way, into maybe considering, I mean, I've always said I'm never going to calorie count. I've always said that. I've always maintained I'm never going to calorie count.
Why?
But
why
actually, maybe I need. Count?
Sorry? Why would you not calorie count?
Because I've been stuck in the Slimming World thing of, you don't need to calorie count. You just need to eat free food.
You bring up so many points and exploit so many flaws in the Slimming World system and in the system of all these kinds of slimming diet shit asshole clubs. They really mess people's minds up when it comes to food. Now, I appreciate there are people out there who find success in these spaces, and I appreciate that they do provide a service to certain people. I often find that the people who have success in these clubs are firstly often very, very, very overweight to begin with, like very overweight to begin with, and therefore just giving them any kind of system around their food intake is going to create a success. And then they laud these people like they're the, you know, the weight loss kings. And the truth is it's just not that hard for that particular population of people to be able to create that kind of success. Also with that, you're relying on those particular people, and this is the rarer occasion. You're relying on those people also not having any other kind of any sort of history with diet and food that is previously troubled. Because when you come across someone who has more complex issues at play, i.e. they have a history of binge eating, or they have some kind of body dysmorphia, or they've got anorexia or whatever. I mean, you wouldn't go to a slimming club if you've got anorexia, but they have some kind of disordered eating past, then it becomes so much more difficult, so much quicker. And their random system of crap just doesn't help them. It just puts them into a tighter pretzel and a tighter knot of difficulty. And then unpicking that and unweaving that is a lot harder. The thing is with things like Slimming and Wild and Weight Watchers and all of these things is they will present you with the story of, I mean, let's say they've reached 1 million people, say. They will flash at you maybe the success of 50 people, because really that's going to be more than convincing enough for you to see 50 success stories. You'll see within that 50 people, you will see definitely maybe 5 people that you feel like you can relate to in the way they look and in the way you feel like you look. And so out of the 1 million people they've reached, they're giving you a presentation of 50 people that have found success. Now, I don't know what the percentage is of 50 into 1 million, but there's an awful lot more within that 1 million people who have failed the fuck out of that place. And they'll never tell you about them. And the reason they failed is because essentially they're lying scumbags and they don't deserve anybody's money or anybody's faith because of the way they operate and because they basically don't tell people the truth. And it's a hard thing for people to get their head around, but they effectively are just liars. And they're just liars because they don't inform people about calories. They don't inform people about what is scientifically, what every single scientific study, every single everything in the world has ever pointed to. They do not tell you about energy balance. And I know energy balance is also a very hot topic of debate, but it doesn't matter how you look at it. Calories in versus calories out is what is equivalent to weight gain and weight loss, period. That means that everything you eat has a caloric weight to it, has a caloric energy to it, a caloric expenditure to it, right? And therefore, to understand that is science, that is fact, that is as clear as gravity keeps you on the floor. It can't be argued. To understand that, is really where you find your release. However, it's not easy. It's not straightforward. It requires education. It requires diligence. It requires understanding. It requires patience. And people end up in such a desperate place to lose weight, to fix themselves, to make themselves feel better and healthier. And therefore, when you say to them, you're going to have to go and learn it. You're going to have to, like, in the same way you'd learn, say you picked up a new hobby, like, say it's, I don't know, playing the guitar, you'd go and learn how to play the guitar. Even though it's a hobby, you'd still educate yourself on it. You have to go and educate yourself. And when you start understanding the truth, you start understanding, your eyes start to open up and you start to go, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Maybe it's not, I can eat as much Greek yogurt as I want, because Greek yogurt is full of protein and protein carries calories. That doesn't mean Greek yogurt is bad. It doesn't mean Greek yogurt is good. It just means that you eat Greek yogurt, you're eating calories. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Slimming World will confuse the topic of be like, well, you know, but they're eating, it can eat as many fruits and vegetables as they want. Yeah, of course you can. Because you can eat a lot more fruits and vegetables than you can eat Mars bars before you start putting on weight. Before you start knocking your calorie energy, your energy balance into a calorie surplus, because it is very hard to eat too many fruits and vegetables to get full to gain weight, just because of how much volume of that food you have to eat, because of how few calories there are in there. But it sounds like to me you're already on the best path you can be to unpick yourself and move yourself away from the Slimming World mentality. Because you're already starting to investigate what's the truth. What is really at play here? Why has Slimming World failed me for the last 12 years, every other 6 months? Why has it not worked? And it's not worked because they haven't told you the truth. They've not been honest. They've been extremely dishonest and it's not good enough. And then not only that, the people they train to teach you this stuff don't understand the truth either. And yet they're getting paid on behalf of a company to basically put you on a scale once a week and fat shame you in front of everybody else. And it's just not good enough.
Oh, those classes. Yeah.
And you know, you step on the scale and old Sandra looks at her clipboard and goes, oh, someone's had a bad week this week. No, you fucking haven't. How does she know what kind of a week you've had? How does she know what stress you've been dealing with? How does she know anything? She is literally standing there judging you based on a number on a scale that she's taking once a week. She doesn't even understand. She doesn't even understand how scale weight works. Like, yeah. If these clubs knew anything, they'd say, go and weigh yourself every day, or don't weigh yourself at all. Those are basically the only two options we have available to ourselves, because you either have to weigh yourself every day to get the data and to understand scale fluctuations, or you have to not look at it at all, because looking at it once a week or looking at it once a month is going to mess you up, because you'll be good for a month. You could step on the scale, you'd hit a bad day, or you'd hit a spike day. You'd, for some reason, your body's holding on to more water than it should be. And before you know it, exactly.
Well, I used to, you know, I'm a raving feminist, and I run an organization to do with women's health. So yeah. It used to really piss me off when it's my star week. Yeah. And I'm like, do you mean your period? Exactly. They're menstruating, and they all like look at me and I go, well, most of us are women anyway. Why can we not call it what it is? It winds me up.
It's almost like they're stuck in the 1950s, isn't it? It's like, it's true. And like, it's taken me, like, and in fairness to them, it's taken me a long time to get comfortable about talking about menstruation with women and how it affects their fitness, fat loss, weight loss, and all of those things, right? But do you know what really helped? What really helped me being able to have those conversations and being able to talk about it with women? What really helped me was I went and got educated about it. I went and learned. I wrote books on it. I wrote articles on it. I did YouTube videos on it. I've spoken about it on podcasts. One of the most successful Instagram posts I ever created is all about how your menstruation cycle affects your fitness. And I had to do a lot of studying, and now I can speak in a very clear and concise way about it, but I have no shame attached to it when I talk about it. I don't have to call it Star Week. I don't have to go that time of the month. You know, I can call it what it is, because because I've empowered myself to understand it.
Yeah,
and that ties back into the conversation about how do you unpick yourself from this mentality. You have to empower yourself to understand it, and you have to empower yourself to understand what calories are, how it works in your life, and how that's going to help move you forward. And it's exciting. It's exciting in the same way that you learn about the Bible, that you learn about the love and savior of Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity and what all of that meant to you as a human being. You now get to understand, and you get to educate yourself on the science behind the calories of food and how that affects you as a human being, and how understanding that can give you freedom that you've never experienced before in your humanity and in your body and who you are as a person. You can tell you hit a nerve with me, can't you?
That's all right. So
that's how I'd go about unpicking it. It's not going to be easy or straightforward, and there will be times when you relapse back to swimming world thoughts. Of course there is, but it's understanding that those days will again become the minority over time. And it's also giving yourself a big hug, a big dose of self-empathy, and going, no, it's okay that I thought that today, because tomorrow is another day. I get another opportunity. The sun will rise again, and I get given, literally, God has given me another chance to try again. And for as long as you can go to bed and wake up with that in your heart, with that love for yourself in your heart, then you will never fail.
And I'm working on that.
Absolutely. And we all work on it every single day. I work on it every day. I mean, I sit here, I can talk about it till the cows come home. We've been going for an hour and 15 minutes. I could talk about this for 6 hours, but I still have to work on it myself. I still fall into the same traps. I know it intellectually. I can communicate it very well. But when it comes to dealing with it myself, I'm as flawed as any other human being. And because I know that, because I understand that about myself, that's why I can keep going. That's why I've been able to be a personal trainer for 5 years and help people, because I've not given up, because I've understood that failure is when you give up. It's not when you just have a bad day. So what else are you going to do? We're going to go for walks when we can, which is a great idea. So we're going to increase our movement. We're going to, I think, in terms of your food, and I'm picking from Slimmer World, I wouldn't get too hung up on having a meal plan. I personally, I wouldn't get too hung up on trying to nail, like, you know, your calories perfectly and all of this. All I would do is stick to some very broad brushstrokes at this point. Yeah, real early on in your journey, like, just real broad brushstrokes. I would, you know, I would try and have some proteinous foods. So are you vegetarian, vegan, eat normal food?
No, yeah, just, no, I just have a fish allergy, so I just don't eat fish.
Don't eat fish. Yep. The complete opposite to me. I only eat fish. Well, I eat vegetables and fruit and stuff like that, but I don't eat meat. So great. So then, you know, like, the first step would be at dinner, I'm going to try and always make sure that my plate has a good, healthy portion of protein on it. Chicken, turkey, steak. I'd even let you have lamb. Pork is acceptable. Good, healthy portion of some kind of meat. That could be eggs, or it could be tofu or tempeh. You know, it could be the vegetarian options for a change. Yeah, suddenly that's like eight dishes already you've got at the top of your brain. In the Fitness Collective, there's recipes galore, food galore. I don't think you need to start squeezing stuff in terms of calories too much into your life. I think you just need to start falling in love with eating food. And start with protein. Start with vegetables. Protein and vegetables. Build your plate, you know, literally, plate of vegetables underneath, protein on top. Then look at that and go, will that fill me up? Only one way to find out. And if it does, great. You don't need anything else. If it doesn't, then, you know, if it doesn't, you've already eaten it. Then you can go and have some pudding. You can have a dessert or something. Or, you know, the next time it comes around, you can go, I'm going to maybe cook some rice with that, or maybe have some quinoa, or maybe have some couscous, or maybe have some something else. Or, you know, I'm having steak, egg, and chip. Great. Have that. Yeah. And be slightly aware of your portions with those foods that you think might be a bit more slippery in terms of calories. But real broad brushstrokes. You don't need to get, but what you do need to get into nitty-gritty of is, like, educating yourself about the food. Like, I don't want you to worry too much about squeezing the calories in, but I want you to start thinking about the calories that might exist in this food. Like, investigate it a little bit, put it in, you know, like, maybe do it after. So eat it and then be like, having weighed it out, like, eat it and then be like, I wonder how many calories was in, like, 30 grams of chicken, just to find out. I wonder how many grams was in, like, my 22 oven chips, and believe me, it's an awful lot when it comes to oven chips. But I think you should probably do it post consumption, because I want you to do it without guilt. I don't want you to then look up and go, my God, how many calories was in that? And then feel like you shouldn't have eaten it. Because if you do it before, you might then start starving yourself. And I don't want that. There's no guilt. All you're doing is educating.
I'm gonna starve myself.
Okay, perfect. Then you can do it beforehand. But then, you know, and what it comes down to is, the next time that rolls around, that's when you can start tightening the nut a little bit. That's when you can start just turning the screw a touch and start, you know, and then you can let your education give you a more informed decision.
Sure. Yeah?
And that will give you, I think that will make it far less overwhelming for you. The other thing is, drink lots of water, like 3 liters of water a day. I noticed you're drinking squash.
Yeah, I drink squash in the morning and then I switch over to other stuff. Non-alcoholic.
I was going to say.
I drink far too much Diet Coke. I need to stop that, really. But it's kind of a habit.
Do you generally eat quite sugary foods as well?
Do you know what? Actually, I don't, apart from... Well, I say that... I'm such a liar. I eat a lot of chocolate, and generally that is a kind of emotional eating issue in terms of my actual meals. So in terms of cooking and creating a meal, I generally don't eat fat. You know, I don't use oil a lot. I don't use, you know, you said about oven chips earlier, you know, I don't really eat chips full stop. You know, I do eat quite a lot of vegetables. So if I could slim down my portion controls of my actual meals, I think that would make a huge difference. My problem is that then if I'm having a stressful day or I've had a, you know, a difficult week, or, you know, like I can just binge on chocolate and biscuits. Okay. Yeah. And that, again, that is something that I need to work on, which is a process, in terms of kind of loving myself, because really I sabotage myself. Yeah. So I can kind of like have a really good few days, and then, you know, I mean, like in the middle of the night last night, I woke up, I couldn't sleep, you know, I've got a terrible sleep thing. So I was awake at 4 o'clock this morning. I wasn't really hungry, but I was awake and I was like, so I'm just going to eat 3 chocolate biscuits. Now, why did I do that? I don't know.
Yeah. And who does know? I mean, I would say, I don't have a problem with Diet Coke myself. There's no calories in it. You can't argue that. What it does is it short circuits the brain to desire sweet foods. And it's highly palatable. And Coca-Cola are very clever because they know how to get people addicted onto their stuff, right? And all it does is your taste buds will be, well, not your taste buds, but your neurological makeup is now designed to, it's someone who has a lot of sweet drinks in their lives, even though they're zero calorie, they get a nice dopamine hit from drinking it. And they get that, and that kind of sense of relaxation after they drink it, that sense of well-being after they drink it. And it's no surprise, like these companies know what they're doing. And then what that means is that when you go to eat a salad, or when you go to eat just, you know, a normal meal, you know, could be like pie, could be whatever. I don't know why I'm thinking about pies. Right, could be whatever, right? When you go to eat that, you don't get the same dopamine hit that you would if you had something sweet, i.e. a chocolate biscuit, i.e. a dairy milk. And they have changed the, like, quite literally, they have changed the neurological makeup of your brain to desire chocolate more, because of eating Diet Coke and eating chocolate and having these highly palatable foods in your system more regularly than not. So a reduction in Diet Coke, I never say you need to do in terms of calories because it's a falsehood, but it can lead you to extra calories consumed elsewhere in your diet that you're not even aware of. And then people will be like, well, I'll just give up chocolate bars. Okay, great. But then they find out they can't because they're still drinking a Diet Coke and the two are so interlinked. And in terms of emotional eating, there's a lot attached to that as well. We're all emotional eaters. Some of the greatest ways to deal with emotional eating is drink water before you have the biscuits. So next time you wake up in the middle of the night, fancy the biscuits. Okay, I fancy biscuits. Okay, what am I really saying? Could be a bit bored, might just need something to do. How about I drink some water? I'll tell you what, I'm going to give myself half an hour if I haven't fallen back to sleep. And if the water hasn't worked, I'm going to sip water for half an hour. And if I'm still thinking about having chocolate biscuits in half an hour, then I will go and have the chocolate biscuits. But if I'm not, I won't. And obviously then don't just lay there going, I'm not thinking about chocolate biscuits. I'm not thinking about chocolate biscuits. Then carry on with normal life, drinking water, having water by your side. Can be fizzy water if you prefer. Could even be water with maybe a little bit of squash in it or something like that. Just until you start training yourself differently, and see where that takes you. And then if half an hour passes, then suddenly it's not emotional eating. Suddenly it's a rational decision that you gave yourself, and the time has passed and you still fancied it, and you go and do it. And then tomorrow's another day. You've done it, fair enough. Get back on track. You don't have to get back on track tomorrow. You could get back on track tomorrow, but you can also get back on track the next meal. You can also get back on track once you have had those biscuits. You can then go, okay, that's done. Breathe. Now I'm going to negotiate breakfast and get back on track. You can get back on track as many times as you want in your life and at any interval you want in your life. It doesn't have to be the next day. It doesn't have to be next Monday. It doesn't have to be next month. It doesn't have to be next year. Right? It can literally happen in the moment as well. And that all comes down to self-empathy, understanding, and love. Back to that beautiful word. It's the heart of who Helen is.
There we go.
Is there anything else?
I think
no?
We've covered quite a lot, haven't we?
Yeah, we've covered an awful lot. It's been great.
I'm going to go away and be like, what was all of that? I might have to re-listen to this myself.
And then you're going to go, why didn't I ask him about how to do squats? Why didn't I ask him this? Why didn't I ask him that? But it's you've got more than enough to be getting on with, you know. I love the plan of walking. I recommend walking above in most other things, to be honest. If someone's not walking and they want to get on with exercise, then the PlayStation Star is walking. Like, I wouldn't even think about giving them a training plan. I'd be like,
I guess, I mean, I'm quite realistic in terms of, you know, my long-term goal and kind of, you know, going back to Slimmer World, you know, I've been in classes where people have lost, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds in 1 week, you know, and, you know, I've never been one of those people. I'm one of those people that loses like a quarter of a pound.
Yeah, but do you know why?
No.
Right. Well, number one, those people who've lost that amount of weight in that short space of time were probably in a far heavier position than you find yourself. Also, they didn't eat anything for a week.
Right. Do you think they just, yeah.
I know so, right? There is no way that you can lose that amount of weight in a way that should be celebrated. And that's another fault of these places. Like, I bet they lost 7 pounds in a week and old Sandra with a clipboard went, and was very happy and very excited and everyone gave him a clap and he probably got loser of the week. And the truth is that person probably was the loser of the week because it's unsustainable. They probably went on to fail. It was extremely unhealthy. And sadly, the effect of losing weight in that manner that has had on that person is a very sad thing. And it's a shame. So I wouldn't ever hold a candle up to not being one of those people. You should take pride in the fact that you're not one of those people, because being one of those people means that there is a car crash about to happen. Mm. And it's going to be very sad when it does.
And I'm quite realistic, you know, in terms of realizing that I have got a lot of weight to lose and that actually this might take several years, you know, to get
perfect. To I love that. Happy. I think that's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, well, I kind of love it.
mainly because I'm going to get paid for a few years. No, I'm joking.
But that's why I guess I felt like I needed something that was going to. Yeah. Kind of, you know, because I can't, I know as a my personality that I cannot sustain, you know, I'm at the start of a year, I feel quite motivated about this now, but actually in a month's time or in 6 months, you know, like actually that's why I need accountability and just kind of that motivation and, you know, I guess also to have somebody else that can believe that you can do it, you know, because there'll be times when I don't believe that I can do it and
yep. Absolutely. And I know full well that every human in the world has the ability to do something incredible. And that incredibleness might not reveal itself. And right now, that incredibleness, even though it's not a word, might to you be in the shape of losing X amount of pounds, right? But actually what might happen is as you walk down this journey, as you figure out this path, the thing that becomes incredible could be something completely different. Could be something completely from left field that no one was expecting, and that is just as amazing. Fitness is a gateway. It is an entry point. It is a place that we step into to reveal things about ourselves and to move away from our comfort zones and to push ourselves forward. And what that can reveal can very quickly change and develop and be very different to what we thought it was going to be in the first place. And that doesn't mean that we failed, because our first goal is not what has actually happened. It means that we've adapted, we've developed, and we've grown, and that is miraculous. And I think that is often better than you just kind of people who get in for 6 months and achieve this goal, but don't actually transform who they are and how they vibrate as a person.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that's great. I think years, not minutes, is a fantastic mindset to have.
So So we're going to walk a bit.
Perfect. I love it. And we're going to control our portions. And we're gonna be more mindful around our food.
Oh yeah, that was the other one.
Yeah. But you'll have this forever as a reference.
Thank you. What can I say?
My pleasure.
I'll listen back to it and be like, oh my gosh.
Take notes. I just want to say thank you so much for jumping on the phone. If there's nothing
else. Thank you for your time.
My absolute pleasure. I wish you every success in the world. You know I do, and you know where I'm at. If you need me, just drop me an email, drop me a post in the group, and I'll get to you immediately. And well, not immediately, but I'll get to you when I can and deal with it. And there'll be times when it's great, there'll be times when it's not so great, and that's all understandable and all part of the process. And you're in a good place. You know you're a fantastic person, and I can't wait. I literally cannot wait to see what happens and how it happens for you, and it's going to be very exciting. So thank you very much. I hope you have an awesome day.
I was going to say, and you, but you're going to hopefully go to sleep soonish.
Yeah, I'll probably watch some Family Guy. I'll probably have a beer and then go to sleep. Yeah.
So I hope you sleep well.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it immensely. I like my sleep. Have a great day, and thank you once again.
See you soon.
Cheers, Alan. Bye.
Bye.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode of The Fitness Solution. I really enjoyed chatting to Helen, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how much further she goes on her journey. Not much else to say from me other than if you've enjoyed the podcast, please like, rate, and review on all kinds of things like Apple Podcasts and whatnot. It really means a lot about spreading the word of the podcast and its availability and how people see it on the apps and stuff like that. So if you're enjoying it, please give it a rating and a review. It'd mean a lot to me. Added to that, I hope you have a wonderful day. If you want to join the fitness collective like Helen did, then just go to www.thegymstarter.com. That's www.thegymstarter.com, and all the information is on there. It's £20 a month, and it'd be my absolute pleasure to have you in there. That's it from me. Peace, love, and protein. High fives and positive vibes. Ciao.